Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Well, the city of North Miami Beach is prominently marked by the Fulford by the Sea Monument. If you've been by it, you know it. This is a 32-foot-tall fountain that was built in the 1920s. It was one of the tallest buildings in South Florida at the time, and it was originally planned to be one of four fountains to be built in the city's main entrances. This year, the city received the state funding to restore the iconic fountain to its original form, and for 3 months, the fountain went through major restoration efforts. Rosa Lowinger is the senior conservator with over 30 years of experience with the company RLA Conservation of Art Plus Architecture. The company helped with the restoration of the Fulford Fountain. Rosa, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Luis. It's nice to be here.
What is the job of a conservator?
Thanks for asking.
Yes.
Yes. A conservator is, we're kind of the doctors of the art world, if you will. We sort of do the diagnostics of what's needed to repair works of art, whether they be paintings or sculpture, or in my case, architecture and monumental artworks. And what we do is we figure out, using art and science and artistry, what's required to repair. And then in some cases, some of us actually do the implementation.
And so, is it just building structures like this fountain? When you talk about protecting that history, what does it encompass anything that's
sure.
old?
Sure. Conservation is a whole profession that has different branches. We have paintings conservation, works of art on paper, photography, murals, buildings. Buildings are a large topic, and then sculpture and objects, too. So you can have conservators of lots of different topics.
How did you get into this?
You know, I had a professor whose wife was a conservator of paper, and he saw me when I was an undergraduate and said, you should think about doing this.
Wait, a paper?
Yes. For example, drawings, photographs, books, rare manuscripts. So he said, you might want to consider this as a profession, and he sponsored me to have a fellowship at the Metropolitan Museum of Art when I was an undergraduate, and that just opened it up for me.
You grew up here in South Florida.
I did. I grew up here.
So we started having this conversation before the program, and to me, it's a fascinating one. For a little bit of time in college, I was a history major, but very different kind of history. But I'm fascinated by the question of protecting history.
Yes.
Okay. So South Florida, give it a grade. How do we do when it comes to protecting history, whether it's the historical sites like the fountain or anything?
Well, I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I can give today's grade would be a B+.
Oh, that's better than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
About 5 years ago, our grade would have been a C-, because we're just getting with the program down here. It's taken a while for us to really understand how to preserve our history, what that means, because it's not just the idea, oh, let's preserve it. It requires a whole bunch of technical expertise that have to be implemented in the right way. Because you can say, yeah, I want to preserve this. I'm going to hire the pool guy to repair it. It's not the same as looking for expertise to do it. So we're doing better here. We're getting on board with it.
I was thinking, because we had talked about this, but I was thinking, people know I came here. Before here, I was in Las Vegas, and this was always a conversation over there, too. There was no effort to really protect the history for most people, because it was always about knock the thing down, build the next big thing. And there are a couple of places you can find history. And I wondered, South Florida grows so fast.
Yes.
And developers just see opportunity. Nothing. I'm not making them out to be the bad guy, but there
right.
it is. There's opportunity. Plus, there's a need for more room for more people. Do you get the sense, though, that, developers and city officials, county officials, like, they put enough effort in trying to protect the history before they start, building?
Well, here's the thing. There is a really prominent example in South Florida of what the value is of preserving historic buildings, and that's South Beach. Art Basel would not be here if some developer had not had the vision to restore South Beach in a way that preserved the historic fabric. And it's okay to do infill and build new things, and not every single building has to be restored or conserved. But the fact of the matter is, we do it here. We just need to do more of it.
And there have been communities that have been pretty good at this. You pointed out, Coral Gables.
Yeah, Coral Gables has been on board from the start. They get it.
All right.
Because their whole thing is the city beautiful.
Right. It's part of how they sell themselves.
Right.
Part of that. The other thing too is, and before I get to the fountain, is can you think of any specific areas, sites, or anything in South Florida from Palm Beach County all the way down to the Keys that you think, oh my God, we've got to protect that right now. Somebody's got to do something. We got to protect that because it doesn't have the protection in place. It maybe doesn't have the national recognition, which would give it those protections.
Well, the single most important thing for us to take care of here is to restore the Marine Stadium, to preserve, protect, and conserve the Marine Stadium. It's in progress, but those of us who've been involved with that project are always a little bit anxious. Is it really going to go through? And, you know, we have the living architect is involved in the project. That building is recognized internationally as being a major monument, and we've got to protect it.
All right, let's talk about the fountain, the Fulford Fountain.
Yes.
And first of all, I mean, as I said, it's almost a century old now.
It is.
What's the significance, though, of that fountain to the city?
Well, as you mentioned in your opening remarks, it was one of what was supposed to be four fountains that framed what was going to be called the development of Fulford by the Sea that later became the city of North Miami Beach. They were going to build four of them, but the hurricane of 1926 thwarted those plans, and then the land bust in that era. So it's really the most significant historic monument in North Miami Beach. It's its one little jewel. Coral Gables has so many things, and North Miami Beach has that one beautiful jewel.
How did they find you? And I mean, what's that process when they said, listen, come in, we need to not only protect this, but we need to bring it back to its glory?
Well, they put out a RFP, a request for a proposal, that went out nationally, and different firms responded to it. And we actually were subcontractor to a masonry contractor from Minnesota that got the award, and they partnered with us to do our portion.
Describe it before the work was being done, what it looked like. Take us back to
poor
that
little fountain.
Some people remember it, or maybe they don't because they drove by, didn't think anything of it. But I mean, yeah, what did it look like?
Well, what had happened, as typically happens, someone got the idea, I think it was in 1980, to restore it. And they did a rather ham-handed job of it, sort of smacking on all these finishes that didn't really match, that looked kind of like gunite from a pool. And they had repaired the dome using tiles that sort of looked the same but weren't quite the same. And this was all really well-intentioned, but that's what it looked like. It looked like sort of a shabby piece together patchwork thing.
But they didn't remove anything. They were just putting stuff on to cover it.
Exactly. So now, which is great that's what they did.
Because now for you, the job was then remove all that, get it back to its original state before you can then really give it a better job.
That's right. And we didn't do all of it. The removal of all those coatings, we figured out how to remove them. And because on a large scope like this, we figured out how to remove it. The contractor actually did the removal, and we were there to troubleshoot when they would run into problems. And then, of course, what they found, that the reason they had put all those coatings on the surface was because the monument had been repaired with these ugly patches that didn't match. And so our job was then to make those patches blend by putting faux finishes on them that matched the original cast stone.
I had heard about, or I was reading about before this conversation today, some of the ways that you removed the old patches, the old things that were on there. And I wanted to know about some of these techniques. I mean, I don't know anything about them, but something to do with walnuts.
Yes. Well, one of the techniques that we have for removing something on the surface is to use walnut shell blasting. In the end, walnut shell was too harsh, if you will. But ground up walnut shells, if you put it through a machine that looks like a sandblaster, they deliver a much softer medium, so they don't gouge out the surface the way sand would. So that was one of the methods that we chose.
What was the toughest part about, again, getting it back to its original state before you could really remodel it? What was the toughest challenge?
The dome, I would say, was a tough challenge. No, that coating was the tough challenge. Getting that coating off, because what happens is, since there were so many patches underneath it, that coating on the surface would attach to certain patches differently than it would to the original. So you'd be going along, it would be working, and then you'd hit a place where it didn't work.
And I know this is different because I think about, for example, you know, old paintings, Renaissance paintings, when they went back to preserve them, they removed so much of the layer of just time.
Right.
And all of a sudden these brilliant colors come out. But right. with something like this, when you remove everything, you get it back to, I guess, as close to the original state. It doesn't look the same, does it? Or because I wondered how much of it did you have to like repaint or re...
Well, that's also a great question, because the thing is, this monument had been through so much in its lifespan. There were so many patches that didn't blend. And of course, the funding had a limit. There was the state funding and there was what the city raised to match it. But that was what there was. So we couldn't actually, you know, take care of it as if we're the Arch of Titus in Rome. We had to make decisions about what to do. And so instead of pulling out all those bad patches and putting in new ones, we had to just blend them out. So we didn't repaint it, but we had to do some blending.
How long did it take altogether?
I would say that altogether it took about 5 or 6 months.
Again, I'm talking with Rosa Loewinger. She's the principal and senior conservator of RLA Conservation of Art and Architecture and has over 30 years of experience as a conservator for sculpture, contemporary art, and historic buildings. And her company has helped with the restoration of different landmarks in the area, including, as we've been talking about, the Fulford Fountain in the city of North Miami Beach. When it was done,
yes,
I wondered, you know, like what city officials, but also what people in the community had said. What kind of things were they telling you about now seeing this really almost come back to life as it was intended almost a century ago?
Well, we've had some wonderful responses. People do love their historic places, and residents as well as commissioners have been extremely complimentary. And they were part of the process as well, because at a certain point there were color choices to make about, should we blend to this color or this? And people really gave us input. And I should also say that the city officials were absolutely delightful to work with, which isn't always the case.
In most cases, it's going to come down to the city or county in finding the funding, right, for projects like this?
Usually, yes.
Okay.
Sometimes there's grant funding that can come. Sometimes there's advocacy groups that find the funding for certain projects, or they'll go out and raise the money. But yeah, it's usually that, something of that nature.
Having these kind of sites, having these kind of monuments or sculptures in a city, what does it do, especially for cities like ours that are so modern and they just keep changing over time? Having something like this, what does it do for the city? What does it do for the residents?
Well, I think that we all, to some extent, love our historic places. When we travel, we go, where do we go? We go to places that are beautiful and exotic and interesting. Who doesn't love France and Italy? But the reason we like those places is because they show layers of history that we can feel good about looking at. And for a city like North Miami Beach that maybe has a few small monuments, I think it's very important to not just make them go away.
What's the next project? What's next in line? What are you working on?
We're working on so many different things right now. Well, we take care of sculpture collections for the universities in town. We're working on Christ Fellowship Church in downtown Miami. And we're working on the Miami Beach Community Church on Lincoln Road.
I think that's the one I think that you pass by on the Metro Mover.
That's
every
right,
day.
Christ Fellowship, exactly.
Right, how long is that one going? Because I've seen the, I guess, you know, the structure basically closed off as all this work's going on for a long time now.
Yes, well, it's been about, say, 6 months on that one as well, but that one's going to go longer. It's a big building, and it's absolutely beautiful. It has...
Is it just the outside part, or
you're... No, we're working on the outside and the inside. We're working on aspects of it. We're not doing all of it, but we're being given certain really precious projects all around the building, inside and out.
What worries you about the future, and you think about... There's and play a little bit of pessimist here is that, you know, obviously the area keeps growing. And mm-hmm. So there's more and more changing and we see communities changing. But the other aspect of our future is the fact that, unfortunately, because of the sea level rise, you know, we're going to lose history again. It's down the road. But I don't know, for you as a person who's trying to protect history, how do you feel when you think about those things?
Well, that's interesting because, you know, right now, South Florida is coming into the world of professional architectural conservation right at the moment when suddenly we have to deal with sea level rise everywhere. So our region is actually leading the charge in some ways because we're having to deal with it in a very urgent way. And I'm often pretty pessimistic about it, but I also believe that ingenuity is, you know, what is it? Necessity is the mother of invention, and something will be done. But those are the biggest challenge is, of course, sea level rise in every, and not just sea level rise, climate change in general, because it's not just about the sea levels. We see it around the country. All those fires that are happening in California is a product of this as well.
It is interesting to think about all the history that we have here. I know that Miami and South Florida is still relatively new as a new area compared to other older cities in America, but there is still plenty of history here for us to think about. Again, Rosa Loringer, she's the principal senior conservator of RLA Conservation of Art and Architecture. And again, we've been talking about the Fulford Fountain in the city of North Miami Beach, which they worked on. And, you know, if you live in that area or you know the fountain, let us know your thoughts after the work was done. What do you think about, you know, how it looks and what it represents to the city? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Find us on social media at WLRN Sundial. Rosa, thank you so much. Always love talking history.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, still to come, we're going to look at a unique film contest that welcomed Miamians to tell the story of their community in short film. That's coming up next.